Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Deep. Hello and welcome to the Red Ben TV. It is the Deep Dive. I'm joined by Josh Williams for this one. We are going to be talking about how to replace Mo Salah. Better tell jokes, he wasn't in the room. I've got rid of the board, so he doesn't need to worry about that. We're going to be talking about him to start off with, though. We've got to talk about the potential games that Mo is going to miss. So, of course, we've got Arsenal FA Cup, 7th of January. We've got Fulham Carabao Cup, 10th of January. Bournemouth away, 21st of January in the league. Fulham again in the Carabao Cup, 24th of January. If they progress Egypt to the semi-finals, he'll likely miss Chelsea on the 31st of January and Arsenal on the 4th of February. And looking at their group, it's likely that they progress. But whether they progress to the semi-finals, another question. If they progress to the final, you can add Burnley at home on the 10th of February to the as the 7th game that he could miss. Which means he should be back for Brentford on the 17th. The final is on the 11th of February. So he could miss 7 games while Liverpool play. While he could play a maximum of 7 games as well.
And he will.
And he will. And he probably wouldn't play 7 games for us in that spell.
Yeah, he'll play every minute. Probably including extra time and everything if they get to it. So, yeah, that'll be good.
And he's already our top minutes played of everyone on the season as well.
Yeah,
just to add that in.
I mean, based on what you've said there, we need them to go out before the semis. Basically.
Yeah,
you know,
pretty much.
I mean, I think we can get through the games beforehand because they're not... First of all, 3 of them are domestic cup games and second, the only league game is Bournemouth. Bournemouth are looking really good, to be fair.
Playing really well. Scoring lots of goals at the moment. In fact, if you look back over the form table for the last 10 games, them and us are the top two, I think.
Yeah, they look really good, yeah, to be fair to them. Solanke's flying as well, isn't he?
Absolutely.
But if he progresses beyond that, obviously Chelsea and Arsenal's a bit more of a problem, and they're both league games as well, one after the other. Arsenal especially, you know. I think Chelsea at home we probably have enough for, but Arsenal away, you could do with Mo Salah for that, like. So,
absolutely.
And it's going to be tricky to come up with a plan to kind of cope without him in a tactical sense, because I think a lot of people will probably clamour for signs to be made. I can't see it happening. We'll probably do it internally. And there's just it goes without saying, but there's no obvious successor for him in the spot that he plays in to deliver what he's been delivering.
Absolutely. I mean, look, you know, it could be that had Ben Doak not picked up an injury, he might have been involved in the Carabao Cup games at some point, but that's not going to be an option now. I think the 5 players, potentially 6 players that we're looking at to cover for Mo in some way, are Darwin Nunes, Jota, Gakpo, Diaz, Elliot, and potentially Szoboszlai. But, you know, he might have a hamstring injury. Well, he has a hamstring problem. We don't know how long he's going to be out for. That actually impacts maybe Harvey Elliott's availability to play on the right-hand side as well.
Yeah.
So we should probably talk about that. Before you looked at the agenda, in your mind's eye, you've probably been looking at this for a month, 2 months, thinking ahead. What did you think a month ago Liverpool's plan would be, and what do you think it is now?
So I've kind of had 3 plans in my head. The first has been Jota, because he's the most two-footed player in the squad, one of the most two-footed players in the league. I think he's similar in a sense that he's just a poacher, likes to get in the goals. I don't think he's as creative necessarily, but he's not too different. Basically, he can threaten him behind and stuff like that. So I think Jota's been an option. I think Elliot is an option because he's left-footed. So I think he's the only left-footed in the squad, not a left-back. if you exclude Salah. So Elliott's an option there. I think he's played there for Blackburn, he's played there at times for Liverpool, you know, when Salah's been substituted or whatever, or in domestic cups. Mm-hmm. And to be fair to Elliott, I think he's looked decent when he's been involved so far this season.
Well, against West Ham, he was absolutely superb in the cup, playing on the right wing.
Yeah, and I think the other one for me would have been Szoboszlai. I think he's also got experience out there. A bit more of a different take, though. He's not particularly left-footed at all. Very right-side dominant. I think he'd interpret that more as like maybe when De Bruyne plays over there and he's just whipping crosses in, and maybe a bit more of a Beckham presence almost. And we've kind of got that in Trent, so I don't know how much that would have worked, but I think that would have been an option if he hadn't got injured, picked up the hamstring injury.
And now, obviously, with seeing Nunes moved out to the left-hand side and seeing a bit more of Gakpo playing the nine over the last couple of weeks, and then seeing Darwin go back in the nine, what are the sort of options as you see it? Like, let's lay it down.
Well, I think Nunes is the closest to Salah in terms of hoovering up so much of what happens in the final third and being a real, like, monster when it comes to just product and just doing things that actually matter when it comes to winning a game, getting shots away, creating chances. So I think Nunes hopefully will have to show a fair bit of the heavy lifting when it comes to like delivering for the team and getting those shots in Salah's absence, which won't be easy. Mm-hmm. I don't think Nunes will play on the right, though. I can't see that happening. I don't overly like him, to be honest, on the left. But it depends on the system, though. If we're playing the false nine system with Gakpo dropping deeper, absolutely Nunes is your man for the left. If we're playing the inverted fullback system, Nunes has to be the nine for me, because the wide players are a lot more, you know, the bit more of an emphasis on like 1v1s. The nine's a bit more stay in the box, put the ball in the net, do what Haaland does. You don't have to drop as deeper because you've got the 2-8s playing as number 10s, basically. So yeah, it really depends. There's so many different ways in which we can do it. To be fair, we've got a group of five high-quality forwards. Obviously, we're losing one in Salah. It's just a shame that the other four, they all want the left side. Don't they? No one really wants to play on the right.
No, you haven't mentioned Diaz on the right-hand side yet.
Yeah, I can't overly see it. I think he could probably do a job over there. I think he's played very few minutes over there at times. I just view him as more of a player who he just looks more suited to the left. Mm-hmm. Driving inside, you can tell just by the way he angles his body. It's similar with Gravenberch. It was similar with Naby Keita, I think.
They all sort of point towards the D.
Yeah, they're all kind of just kind of diagonal in the way that they look. And they kind of drive towards the penalty spot. Whereas if you're on... It's similar with me, for example. Like, if I play football, I am right-footed, and I drive forward with the ball, kind of pushing it forward with the outside of my foot. If I was to play on the right side, which I have at times, you're just a lot more reliant on your individual burst of pace to beat your man, and it's crosses into the ball. You haven't it?
Oh, trying to imagine you burst and past the man.
Yeah, well, a little bit too descriptive there, to be saying burst and past the man, but maybe 10 years ago, like.
Come on, you're nearly 30 now, like. It's still burst and past lads on the far side.
It's a completely different dynamic, though, isn't it? It's a completely different dynamic when you're playing on the left compared to the right, if you're right-footed. And not everyone can do it. And that's why I think Jota can, because Jota's got that two-footed element to him. So he's not limited as much as me.
I think I've convinced myself that it's going to be Jota.
That might be what Klopp's priming him for, because he didn't start the last game, did he? And he's come on as a sub. It wouldn't, you know, surprise me if now that Endo's gone and Salah's gone, McAllister comes back in and Jota comes back in as starters because of necessity almost.
Yeah, I think even just you think about the goal where Jota plays it to Salah and Salah crosses it from the weekend.
Yeah.
Like, that run inside is everything you need from a wide player. Now, of course, he's got Salah on his outside still, but it's a great sort of little 1-2, isn't it? And, you know, driving into the box. And I wondered whether it was just a little bit of a precursor to what we're going to see. Now, one of the things I wanted to just quickly look at was have a look at some of the stats of some of the forward players and stuff to see who was maybe the most like Salah. And the problem that I think I found is There isn't. Yeah, I'll put it in the middle there. I'll put it in the moment. There isn't really anybody who is like Salah. You could mix, I think, if you look at it in terms of, let's take these, yeah, let's put the Per 90 stats on. We're on FB Ref as we always are. And if I go down to the shots more than anything, shots Per 90. So, right, Darwin Nunes has a lot of shots. Jota has a lot of shots, very similar to Mo Salah. But in terms of something like progressive carries, Jota the highest with Salah again, so similar in that regard. But in terms of progressive passes, like, Salah's still one of the top ones, but Jota's the complete bottom of them and stuff. You need to meld almost two players together to get Salah.
Yeah, I think Salah is basically Jota and Elliot combined, in a way. I think Elliot's got the kind of creative playmaker element to his game. He's not particularly quick, though. Doesn't threaten him behind the block, but does see passes. Whereas I think Jota is the poacher who does threaten him behind the block, wants the goals, but doesn't connect the play as well and doesn't create as many chances and things like that. One thing I am surprised about there is the number of shots Elliot's taken.
Yeah.
Elliot's shooting more than anybody except Nunes in the entire squad by the looks of it, unless Szoboszlai's up there as well.
Yeah, this is a comparison between just these players.
Yeah.
So
that is interesting.
It is high, but it's also the smallest data sample, as in 4.690s compared to 12.4 for Nunes. But he has had a lot of shots, to be fair.
Plus, a lot of them, I'm getting it up now, but a lot of them will be from outside the box. And that's generally not what you want, and it's generally not so much what Salah does. Let's have a look. So,
yeah, nearly all of them. Yeah. You can see this, but on his understat, there's like two in the box.
There's two in the penalty box, and all of the others are kind of, they're not great shooting occasions, to be fair. I think he scored one of them, actually, didn't he? Against Palace, was he? But other than that, yeah, the kind of shooting look, basically Antony. You know, yeah. Antony from Man United?
Yeah,
it's very that kind of spot where you just seeing an opening and having a goal. But
so if we were to say, do you think Jota's the most likely replacement on the right-hand side as well?
Yeah.
So if you've got Jota there, are you keeping Nunes and Diaz?
I think Diaz offers us the most width out of the forwards for me, and I think we're going to need that because we don't have a left back at the minute. Jota is going to come inside even more so than Salah. Nunes obviously is already in the middle anyway. I think Jones is helping with the width thing a little bit by drifting out wide.
Yeah.
I think if we play Elliot in Szoboszlai's place, Elliot will also help with that drifting out wide at times. So yeah, that's probably what I'd do, I think. What about you?
Yeah, I think that's exactly how I fell down. There was another reason that I fell down on Jota, Diaz, Nunes. I wasn't really thinking about the width of him, being honest, although that point makes perfect sense. Mine was, you are missing your best player. And if you move Diaz to there, or you start moving Nunes to the left more often, or something else mad, keep two the same if you can. Because why change all fucking three when you know you're probably going to have to change one of the eights, Elliot for Szoboszlai? And that Szoboszlai thing does make a difference, because I do think Harvey Elliott would be in this conversation and a lot higher up in our thoughts if we weren't worried about Szoboszlai being injured with a hamstring injury. Because he has to play somewhere there, I think, because we haven't really got any right-sided eights apart from Harvey Elliott, you would suggest.
Yeah. And one outside the box shout as well that you could probably throw in there is, because of the attacking difference that Salah makes on his own, the kind of burden that he carries, losing that is a big hit, obviously. So one of the ways in which you could just get around that in almost a data sense is just by playing four forwards to compensate the amazing level of one of the three that you usually play, to get what I mean. So rather than playing Nunes, Salah and Diaz, to compensate for the loss of Salah, you include Jota and Gakpo in some way and have four forwards on the pitch. Hopefully
you can
you're kind of keeping the aggregate the same, if you see what I mean. But then how you would do that, I'm not sure, because Gakpo hasn't looked great as an eight so far for me this season. And I don't think it's worth full-on changing system to 4-4-2 or anything like that. I think we should mostly keep what we're doing the same. if possible, even though we've lost Salah. I don't think you need to kind of rip it up for the sake of a month. I don't think.
Well, that's it, isn't it? I mean, you play Jota on the left and you play Nunes in the middle and maybe Elliot on the right. That's your whole...
Yeah.
It's everything's changed, hasn't it? So it's almost like, what's the path of least resistance here? Throw Jota in. Jota likes to get in the box and score goals. Mo likes to get in the box and score goals.
Mm.
Jota's the most two-footed of the forward players who play on the left-hand side. So that makes more sense. Harvey's probably likely to be used in the middle.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One thing I did think was quite interesting here, I was on the analyst.com and I was looking at the team style comparison and I was starting to sort of think about how Liverpool play. Now, you know, the big outlier here, of course, is this is passes per sequence and direct speed. So it's how quickly you move the ball up the field to either end in a shot in the box or a touch in the box or a shot, and how many passes per sequence on average you have. So slow and intricate, the real outlier just above Josh's head here is Manchester City in the bottom right hand corner, right there. Beautifully done. Liverpool is in its own outlier here because they keep the ball for a long time. Was that sixth best in the league, you would guess, but are also the quickest team at going from the back to the front in the entire league, more so than the long ball side, Everton, even. Which is
mixed bag, isn't it, really?
It's interesting, that, though, isn't it?
Yeah. That's what I would put down as absolute, like, 50% Jürgen Klopp's philosophy and 50% Pep Linders' influence.
Yeah.
I think that's a proper, like, indicator that of, like, the influence of Linders as a possession-based coach who's kind of, like, you know, Dutch heritage and all that stuff. And the full throttle nature that has always been associated with Klopp's game, and Liverpool finding a way to be successful by incorporating the two and merging them together.
It's true that, and it is where I'm going to bring it back to the show that we're on now and we're talking about. Does Harvey Elliott help this?
I think he would probably bring the direct speed down, do you think?
Yeah, that's what my thinking was.
And make it a bit more methodical, a bit more controlling, which isn't a bad thing. And I actually think Elliot could benefit Nunes. If Elliot was to play on the right and adopt that kind of playmaker role rather than, you know, obsessing over goals, it could just give Nunes, I mean, I was going to say could give him more chances, but he can't really get much more than what he's currently getting. And Salah's been providing for him a fair bit, but I think Elliot could benefit Nunes in that way. Because Nunes is that nine who just wants all the attack to run through him. And Elliot's the type of forward who seems to me willing to just... Yeah, he just seems to be willing to kind of allow that to happen, really. Whereas Salah, obviously, we know Salah wants goals.
Yeah, absolutely. One final thing I wanted to sort of have a little look at. I was looking at the stats for the entire season so far for forward players, Josh. Obviously, in terms of XG, Erling Haaland, got the most in terms of goals. He's got the same amount of Mo Salah. You can see their XG right at the top there, very, very similar to each other. One thing I did bring up is non-penalty expected goals minus, where is it? Non-penalty goals minus their XG to see how they were performing. So you can see Son is performing better than anybody compared to his XG in the league, which
happens every season, basically.
Yeah, it does. You can see the two top scorers will be there or thereabouts in the middle somewhere. Because Salah's like minus 0.3 now because of the penalty miss. And I think Erling Haaland's very, very close. Can you see Salah at minus 0.3 yet?
Let's have a look.
I'll bring it back to the top and I'll just do it versus XG there. Right, there you go. Goals minus XG. Yeah. So yeah. Haaland's actually underperforming slightly. Salah's underperforming slightly. If I bring that stat back up and I go the other way round, are you surprised that Darwin Nunes is the second most profligate striker in the Premier League compared to XG after Dominic Calvert-Lewin?
No, absolutely not surprised, to be honest. It's sad, isn't it? But it's weird. It really is weird because in his final season at Benfica, it was the opposite. It was completely different. He was, I think, the most clinical striker in Europe's top six leagues. With I think he converted something like 31% of his shots into goals or something like that. I think he overperformed expected goals by about 7. And I think a lot of it at the minute. I actually think his finishing against Newcastle was decent.
There was the one-on-one. Yeah. That was it. Yeah. The others I can make peace with.
Yeah.
I don't think they're a problem, any of the others, but the one-on-one is obviously...
Yeah, I think to an extent the Pravka performed to a decent level, and it was one of them for me where the finishing narrative's obviously gathering steam and that, but I think he's also, on top of the not great finishing at the minute, he's unlucky. Mm. I do think even despite his finishing, most strikers would have more goals now than what he's got, and it's just a shame because it's getting borderline funny at the minute. Like it's such a coin flip for him at this point. It's just landing on the tails every time, and it's
here's one for you. I'm gonna take it away. We're gonna play Challenge Josh. This is definitely not planned. Who is the player with the... And you can put this on the screen for everybody, Joe. The player with the highest shot on target percentage in the squad. They have to have had a shot, obviously.
You've got to have more than one shot, though.
Yeah.
How many...
Two.
How many shots have we took? Two?
Yeah. If he's clever, he'd be looking at the screen in front of us, but he's not. Go ahead. Andy Robertson.
Is it Andy Robertson? Yeah.
Andy Robertson has 100% shot on target percentage. What's interesting, though, I've just played devil's advocate with myself here. Darwin Nunes has 41% of his shots on target. Diogo Jota, the classic finisher, 37.5% of his shots on target.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I don't think Nunes has been anywhere near as bad as people have made out when it comes to his finishing. I just think sometimes, like, hitting the woodwork is, for me, that's one of them. That's just, it's really unlucky that you're talking inches there between him getting criticised and him getting praised. You know, it's for me, that's too fickle for me. That's just unlucky. And I think he's hit the woodwork more than anybody all season. They just, over time, once he stops thinking about it, if you just keep playing him. Like one of the shows we did recently was you kind of asking me how long did you give him and that, but I would just keep playing him until he figures it out, because I do think it's coming. It's hard not to be in that camp when you're looking at his numbers like that. Shoots more than anybody in the entire league. His expected goals is really good. He's really busy, threatening and behind, nightmare for defenders. Keep playing them, the goals will come. Hopefully they come when Salah's not here.
Well, that is exactly what we need. Did you ever watch the TV programme Community?
No.
Okay, this is going to go over your head. I'm going to do this for anybody who watched the TV show Community, which is one of the funniest comedies that you're ever going to see. It's absolutely brilliant until season 6. But Abed in that is in a psychological experiment where they basically just leave them in a room for as long as they just don't tell them why they're there. They just keep going back in and going, we'll be a little while, we'll be a little while. And Abed lasts like 36 hours just sat there. And that is going to be you, Josh, waiting for Darwin Nunes to click it into gear. And everybody else is left kicking and screaming and crying and all this type of stuff. And Josh is just going to be sat there going, he's going to click soon, don't worry about it. And I hope you're right, Josh, I really do.
Do you know what I can throw at that? I haven't seen Community, but have you seen the Fresh Prince meme, Will Smith stood in the room on his own.
Yeah.
When everyone's moved out. That feels a bit like me at the minute, yeah. And like the last kind of supporter for him, willing him to do well. But I do think it's coming. It's not based on nothing. It's not based on blind faith. You know, it's based on the analytics behind it and the science behind it, hopefully, in that, like, if you keep getting the shots, the goals tend to follow. It's just not so much the case with him at the minute.
Do you know what? I said this on the podcast yesterday. I referenced the show we did on Darwin Nunes, and you definitely softened my sort of opinion on it. Is that, like, the movement, getting into those positions. I looked at those chances that, you know, he missed three of the five big chances at the weekend, and there was only one of them where I was really angry about it. Like, he definitely is in the right position. He has the opportunities. You'd hope that you could put somebody else in there and get those same opportunities, but it's a risk because they might not. Wild.
Look at them, mate. Like, obviously the viewers can't see that, but I'm looking at understats here just to look at a shot map for this season alone. They are great shots in terms of the locations of them and that. And I mean, that doesn't offer a great insight into his finishing, to be fair, because
where am I? 23-24.
Yeah, go down and then put the season in there. But the number of red shots in there, that the number of red ones, that's him completely missing the target, which isn't great. But they're good shots. They're good shooting
locations.
They're
in the area where you want them to be.
Yeah, they're all central. They're all, you know, relatively close to goal and things like that. Pen spots. Players who get shots like that score, but he's got far fewer than we'd expect so far. And my general prediction, if I'd never seen him play, I'd look at that and I'd be like, right, in a couple of weeks, in a couple of months, he'll have a real hot streak. Everyone will change the narrative on him, everyone will love him. But he won't actually have been doing anything different apart from the last action of putting the ball in the net. But everything else is staying the same. He will start getting goals because that's the process is good, basically.
No, I like it. Okay, brilliant. Well, there you go. That has been how we replace Mo Salah. It seems to be that we both think Diogo Jota is going to do a job on that right hand side, which is quite interesting.
Or Harvey Elliott.
Yeah. But that's dependent on Szoboszlai.
Yeah,
I think because if Szoboszlai's fit, Harvey looked so good against West Ham, and it was just a different interpretation of the role because Salah doesn't use his pace in quite the same way when we've got Nunes to run in behind. Salah's not the running behind guy anymore, is he? So Harvey's allowed to drift inside and look for those passes and stuff. So yeah, absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for listening, for watching, for joining me today, Josh.
Cheers, mate.
We'll see you next time on the Deep Dive.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.